Welcome to Be Smart with Jared Dillian and how not to be an idiot with your money. You know, when I meet people for lunch or socially or whatever, the topic of conversation is always inflation. It's all anybody can talk about. I mean, I guess inflation right now is 5.4%, at least as it's reported by the BLS. Probably it's higher than that. PPI, producer price index, is 8.6%. Producer prices feed into consumer prices. We're probably going to have higher CPI at some point. My guess is that we eventually get to double-digit inflation. You know what's amazing about this? What's amazing about it is how fast it happened, right? Like a year and a half ago, we had like 1% inflation, and now it's skyrocketed. And there is historical precedent for that. After World War II, inflation got to 15% in the period of about 2 years. So how do we get rid of the inflation? Nobody knows. That's the thing. Nobody has done anything about this. I mean, it's becoming a political concern. This is going to get Biden voted out of office. This is going to get the midterms to be a wipeout. And yet the Democrats, and probably the Republicans as well, have no idea how to fight inflation. How do we get here? Right? If you want to stop inflation, if you're the government and you stop handing out money, you stop the enhanced unemployment benefits, you stop the stimulus checks, PPP loans, all, no more free money. That stops. If you're the Fed, you stop printing money, you stop doing quantitative easing, and you raise interest rates. Nobody wants to do this because of the pain. Because if you stop handing out free money, then the economy slows down. If you raise rates, you're going to cause a recession. Central banks won't raise rates until the pain of inflation is greater than the pain of recession. Let me say that again. They won't raise rates until the pain of inflation is greater than the pain of recession. So I always assume that people know this economic history, but usually they don't. I mean, I only know this because I've worked in the financial world for the last 22 years. So let's talk a little bit about this history. So back when we had a lot of inflation, it was the 1970s. The Fed was fucking it all up. Arthur Burns was chairman of the Fed. Nice guy. Arthur Burns was the smartest guy in the room. Unquestionably brilliant. Super, super smart. He is what we would call a smidiot. He was a smart idiot because he saw this inflation bubbling up. And instead of doing something about it, he says, well, why don't we just take this out of the basket? This doesn't count. And we'll take that out of the basket. We'll take this out of the basket. And at the end of this, he had taken 65% of the goods out of the CPI basket. And the basket was still showing 14% inflation, you know? So anyway, so we had crazy inflation under Arthur Burns. Jimmy Carter said, we got to get this guy out of here. So he puts in G. William Miller. G. William Miller was not an economist. Okay. He was a business guy. And I know a lot about G. William Miller because he went to the Coast Guard Academy. I think it was class of 1946, 45 or 46. And he ran Textron. He was CEO of a Textron and he was a Democrat. Really is kind of a bleeding heart liberal, and he did not have the intestinal fortitude to raise rates and to cause a recession and to get rid of the inflation. He couldn't do it. So he lasted about a year and a half, and then Jimmy Carter brought in Volcker, and Carter knew what Volcker was going to do. Volcker made it very clear. He said he was going to rip rates and crush the inflation. That's exactly what he did. Ronald Reagan became president, and early on in Reagan's term, we had a terrible recession that was all driven by higher interest rates. I mean, when I say terrible, it was negative 6% GDP, which was pretty much as bad as it was in the financial crisis. And a lot of people don't talk about the recession of 1982, right? But he did what it takes, and we recovered, and inflation went down for 40 years. Okay. So that was a big recession, but we were willing to do it. Why? Because the pain of inflation was greater than the pain of recession. We were willing to take the recession in order to stop the pain of the inflation. And everybody that came after Volcker, I guess, well, at least Greenspan, took inflation seriously. I mean, you know, when I started in the financial industry, you know, I'd walk in to work on the trading floor and Greenspan would rip rates 50 basis points and the market would crash. And this was a pretty routine occurrence, you know. So I don't know what's happened at the Fed. The psychology of that place has changed profoundly in the last 20 years. And the Fed, as you know, has a dual mandate. They're supposed to do two things. They're supposed to make unemployment go down and inflation go down. But that's, those goals are kind of in opposition to each other. So 20 years ago, we were focusing on inflation and now we're focusing on unemployment and we're not focusing on inflation at all. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. So what does this mean for you? Well, when I was on the radio, you know, I was pretty much yapping about this all the time, especially during the pandemic. I said this was going to cause inflation. And I explained what it was going to mean for you. I said it was going to mean much higher prices of food in particular, higher food prices, but higher prices of everything. What I did not predict was the shortages. I should have predicted that, but I did not predict the shortages. And the shortages, there's two sides to this, okay? And everybody focuses on the supply side. We don't have enough goods. People focus on the supply side, but the demand side is actually what's causing the shortages. And on the demand side, you have millions of people cruising around with a lot of money and they're looking to spend it. And they are price insensitive buyers of goods. They are price insensitive buyers. They don't care what the price is. Everyone has a bunch of money. Nobody knows where it came from. I mean, I guess we handed out a couple trillion dollars. So that is sloshing around the system. And yes, the Fed printed a couple trillion. So, I mean, I guess if you're a strict monetarist, you would say it's more money chasing the same amount of goods, but that money typically ends up as bank reserves. But everyone has cash and people are willing to pay up for stuff. People are price insensitive buyers. Now, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, this is like 2005, 2006, commodity prices ripped. Okay. And back then, people were like, gosh, I wonder if we're going to get inflation. And even though like raw material prices went up, we never got inflation. And what people were saying back then was that retailers, producers did not have pricing power. They couldn't raise prices because people wouldn't accept higher prices. They would shop around. People are people will pay up now. You want to talk about pricing power? Retailers have pricing power. They raise their prices 20%, people pay it. They raise it another 20%, people pay it. So the average price of a car now in the United States is $42,600. And the dealerships have no cars. Think about that. They are out. Today, I went to the car dealership to get my oil changed, and the lot is empty. Not empty, but it's almost empty. Like it used to be full. We are seeing this over and over again in the economy. Nobody knows what the hell happened. Here's what happened. We have interest rates at zero for a very long period of time. We're printing money. We're handing out free money. It's simple. An idiot could have predicted inflation. Interestingly enough, not that many people did. We have 10 million job openings and only 8.5 million unemployed people. How does that happen? That's nuts. You know, this is like something out of Atlas Shrugged. Really, the economy is breaking down. Okay, you didn't have inflation in Atlas Shrugged, but it's kind of similar. You know, I tried to get my nephew to read Atlas Shrugged, and I told him if this is the one book, if he would read it, he would be a millionaire, and he read 100 pages and he quit. By the way, the best Ayn Rand book is We the Living. It's very literary and the rest of it is cartoonish. So if you're wondering if this is going to get better, it's not. The inflation is not going to get better. Shortages are not going to get better. Like a lot of people said, the supply chain stuff, it would work itself out. It's not. It's getting worse. It's going to continue to get worse. The administration is nowhere on this. I mean, I just was surfing through the news and Jen Psaki was making jokes about the supply chain. She was saying the tragedy of the treadmill that didn't get there on time. She made a joke about it. hey, if she orders a treadmill, it's going to get there on time. I assure you of that. Then you had Ron Klain, White House chief of staff, with a retweet that the inflation and shortages are a high class problem. You know, the French aristocracy never saw it coming either. And like I said in a previous show, this is all on Biden. The Biden administration owns this. It's 100% his responsibility, not Trump. And there's this old joke about socialism. In socialism, people wait for bread. In capitalism, bread waits for you. Now we get to the grocery store and there's no bread. It's gone. I would guess that we are about a month or two away from rationing. And Christmas is going to be a complete disaster. I have stockings, Christmas stockings for my cats, okay? And I got cat number 6 this year, so I needed Christmas stocking number 6. Ordered it from Pottery Barn about a month ago. Still hasn't shown up. It's going to take another month, 2 months to get a Christmas stocking. Supply chain issues. I can tell you what the worst possible thing would be at this point in time. More free money. If you hear them talking about more unemployment benefits, oh my God, we are so screwed. The entire economy will shut down. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? Of course, nobody will ask me to be Fed chair because I have all these tattoos, which was a career-limiting move. I mean, you can blame Biden. You can blame Jay Powell. It's actually kind of not really their fault. I mean, it's much bigger than individual people. It's culture. It's psychology. And this machine is telling people that there is such a thing as a free lunch, that you can have your cake and eat it too, that you can pass a law and create prosperity with the stroke of a pen. It'll be interesting to see what the economy looks like in 2024. I'm Jared Dillian, and you're listening to my podcast, Be Smart. See you next time.